Welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape, United Methodist Communications and UMC.org's podcast to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joy Avino. Today we conclude our Advent series of missionary conversations as part of the Give Love campaign in partnership with our friends at the General Board of Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. My guests today are Mark and Deirdre Zimmerman, a missionary couple serving in Kathmandu, Nepal. As a physician and dietitian, they share their love for Jesus by tending to the bodies and spirits of the people of Nepal. Mark and Deirdre, welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape.
Thank you.
Nice to be here, Joe.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today. Tell me about your ministries in Nepal.
Well, we work as healthcare professionals here, Joe. So I came first to Nepal a little bit more than 30 years ago as an internal medicine doctor. And then some years after that, I met Deirdre, and we actually met through our work because she's a nutritionist and I needed some help in nutrition. And one thing led to another, and now she's still helping me in nutrition. And she's been here for a little bit more than 20 years. So I work as a physician now in a place called Patton Hospital, and Deirdre works as a nutritionist both in the hospital and also in a community project.
Deirdre, tell me about the community project. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I work with a Nepali NGO, or not-for-profit, and it's a nutrition NGO, and their goal is to try and tackle malnutrition in women and children in Nepali communities. And we do that. Our mode of working is by going into particular communities, often rural communities, also urban nowadays, putting staff on the ground there and working for 3 to 4 years in behavioral change and education and training to help people look after their children better.
Yeah. And Mark, you're also serving as a professor, is that correct?
I guess so. I mean, they give you that title. I'm not sure what that means. I mean, it doesn't really change much what I do, Joe. So in medicine, if you have young doctors with you, with your right hand, you're taking care of patients. With your left hand, you're teaching the young doctors who are both your colleagues as well as your students. So that's my role, is both a healthcare provider and also a teacher of the doctors who are with me.
Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful work that you get to do to help train people who will continue the medical work that's already happening there that you've been able to do for the last 30 years.
Well, I've done different things. I've done that for the last 4 years, but before that I was in a different role. And before that I was in a completely different role. So one of the, you know, blessings that I've had here has been God kind of opening another door. One closes, another opens. And not by our plan, but just by his plan, the next door that opened has been in Nepal. So that's why we stayed here 1 year after another and 1 decade after another, not by our own plan, really.
How did it start? You're originally from Pennsylvania, and Deirdre, you're originally from Ireland, correct?
That's right. Yes, from Dublin. Yeah.
So how did you guys make that decision to wind up doing what you're doing now?
Well, we made it separately, first of all. In some ways, a little bit similar. Both of us had overseas experiences, short-term overseas experiences. Mark during college, and I mainly, once I started working, I had a chance to do a short-term overseas missions. Mark's was not mission work, it was just volunteer work. And that led both of us to wanting to go a bit further. For Mark, he came here to do 3 months volunteer, which extended and extended and for me, I made a commitment to come for 3 years initially, having done very short programs before that. And then we met in that first 3 year period. Both of us actually also got our feet wet in Africa. And certainly I never thought I would spend most of my life in Asia. But that was the way God led. Yeah. So both of us did short term volunteer work in Africa first.
Wonderful. And then, as you said, you guys met and became a couple and got married. Are there specific challenges with being a married couple serving in ministry in this way?
I mean, being married to an American.
Maybe that's what I mean. Yeah.
If you say a specific challenge to the situation you're in, you're always going to compare it to the other situation. So a married couple serving in Nepal together, you could compare that to a married couple living in the U.S. together. So we don't know that. So but then we do know single people working in Nepal together. For me, I did that for, I guess, about 10, 12 years. And I have to say, it wasn't going to last. The 10, 11 o'clock nights in the hospital, going home to your own apartment, eating breakfast cereal for dinner, I wasn't going to sustain that much longer on that routine. So there's a big difference for me was just, you know, the balance that being married brings to your life. And, you know, a couple of years after we were married, we had our first child. Our boy was born here in Nepal. Both our boys have been brought up here in Nepal. Yeah, we frequently have said, you know, we're not really sure how we would cope in another country than Nepal. So I'm fairly sure that it'd be a much bigger challenge for us going back to Ireland or the U.S. than what we're facing right now. The classic thing is, oh, you're sacrificing, but, you know, that's not really our experience.
Yeah, I probably asked it backwards. I probably should have asked, what's the blessing or what's the advantage of being a married couple serving together? And you answered that really, really well. You mentioned that you have two sons. How old are they?
So we have an 18-year-old who, in the middle of this corona pandemic, left Nepal to go to the U.S. to start college in Pennsylvania. And we have a 16-year-old at home here with us who's doing a very lonely and long 10 months of online schooling.
Wow, that must be really difficult, the online schooling. And I too have experienced kids going away to college, but not to another country. And that must be a challenge as well. And is he able to attend classes or is he doing online in Pennsylvania as well?
He's on campus online. Yeah. So we never would have thought of having to send him away on his own. We expected this summer to be doing home assignment and at least to settle him there. I mean, you have to get through the first question of, are you going to leave him alone in college? First of all, we decided that it was better for our family to stay in Nepal, but we thought we would at least drop him off. And that didn't work out. He set off on his own. First time he'd flown on his own, despite many years of travel. And that was a huge step, but we've also seen huge blessings in it. And he's done really well, covered by a lot of prayer and a lot of support from different people. And it's been so good for him to get out of lockdown and into something semi-normal, even though it's online, and to start growing his experience. And it's been really great. So we're very thankful that a situation that looked very scary was actually really good for him.
When Deirdre says, get out of lockdown, in a sense, he was in lockdown under us too. I mean, that's the main lockdown that he's out from under. And he just really thrived. I mean, we didn't have an idea that he would do so well away from us. And it's made us reflect on our parenting a bit in a good way and also in a corrective way. You know, he's flourished out from under our umbrella.
It's always good to hear when the kids, you know, kind of take off and on their own and are doing well. So congratulations. That's a really good feeling. I've heard both of you in your bios and stuff talk about how you see your medical work as an expression of God's love for the people. Can you tell me a bit more about that, like how this is an expression of faith?
Well, I think one thing, and maybe some people tuning in may not fully appreciate, is we're serving in Nepal. Nepal recently declared itself as a secular country, having been known as a Hindu kingdom since its inception, but it is still a very strongly Hindu country where more than 90% of people are practicing Hindus or a mix of Hinduism and Buddhism. There is a very small but very thriving church here, but the government would not allow people into this country under the guise of missionaries or church workers. And it's not really possible for foreigners to be openly involved in church work. And it's neither of our calling either. Both of us are health workers.
Yeah.
And so we feel that God has a holistic view, a holistic desire for people's well-being. And that includes physical well-being. It does not exclude spiritual well-being, but physical well-being is part of that. And it's our privilege to be able to work in that field, whether it's in Nepal or America or Ireland. That's our calling for both of us, is to work in healthcare. And this is where God has asked us to do it, or led us to do it, because as Mark implied, neither of us ever got clear writing on the wall, go to Nepal and serve here for 20 years. We just took one step after another.
Yeah, the next thing, the next extension, the next right. That's right. That's wonderful. And Deirdre, you talked about somewhere about it being a kind of a ministry of presence, right? This just being there, you hope is a witness to the community. Can you tell me more about that as well?
Yes. Well, I think that's maybe evolved a little bit over time. In the past, while it still is true today, I think it was especially true in the past when the church in Nepal was more oppressed. Before I came, for decades before that, it was outright persecuted. I would say persecution is too strong a word now, but the church was oppressed for many years. It's still difficult for churches to have legal recognition and registration here. For individual Christians, it can be very difficult with their families and in their communities. And part of that ministry of presence was standing with the church in Nepal and saying that churches around the world know about you, want to stand with you in the difficult circumstances you exist in. So I think that was a big part of it. The church is stronger here now. It's more recognized, although it still struggles for legal recognition, and Christians have to be somewhat careful about their activities and churches, about how overt they are at times. But I think we also, both Mark and I, also hope that through our service and presence here, as I guess every Christian in the world should be hoping, that even if we don't open our mouths and say the word Jesus Christ, that something of his presence is, by his grace, coming from our actions and our behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like talking about calls to work and using the gifts that we have to glorify God that are not the typical church gifts, right? Not being the preacher, not being the musician or whatever that we, you know, assume is like, oh, that's a church gift, but using those other gifts to glorify God as well. I love having that conversation. So thank you for indulging me for a moment there. Mark, I wanted to ask you, like, what's the most exciting thing that's happening in the hospital right now? Or what gets you energized about the things that are happening in your work?
And the thing right now, of course, is COVID. That's exciting in a sense for us, having been here a long time. So we walked through a number of things with the Nepali people. I mean, we haven't completely experienced them to the extent they have, because we have more money than the average person here. If we get into trouble, someone will take us back to the U.S. for health care. We're insulated from their hardships. Nevertheless, we have been here through a revolution, through an earthquake, and now probably, you know, the most shaking, I mean, more shaking than an earthquake really, is just this pandemic.
Wow.
Because it continues to shake. You know, it doesn't stop after a minute of an earthquake or after some, you know, months. Everybody's lives are just shaken by this COVID thing. So why is it, you know, why should that be exciting, or how can you get anything positive out of that, you might ask? But the thing is that to be here with the people whom you've walked with for this long at a time of crisis, you just say to yourself, well, you know, this is the right place to be. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world. And it's a great privilege to serve beside people and to serve Nepali people who are coming in, you know, with this terrible disease. Related to that is that I work with a team of young doctors, as I said, whom I teach, but they also teach me a lot. And the one thing over the last 6 months that has just been purely inspiring has just been seeing them be at the front line of the COVID response, perhaps just because the medicine is hierarchical, perhaps also because COVID tends to take people at an older age. We have our younger guys who are kind of more on the front line, and then we older guys, you know, make rounds with them, supervise them, but it's them who really run the COVID ward. So we have about 140 patients with COVID in the hospital. At this point, 15 or 18 of them are in the ICU, or the sickest ones. So I guess just to come a long way back to your question, what's exciting or what's, you know, positive, has just been the way perhaps a soldier will always remember who they were in the trenches with. I'll never forget, you know, this experience, you know, with these young doctors in 2020, and I hope it ends fairly soon. I hope I can say it's just, you know, it was that slice of life.
Yeah, what a privilege to get to walk with these people through this difficult time. Absolutely. Deirdre, anything in the community center or in other places that's exciting that's happening? What gets you energized about your work?
Well, definitely the work I personally enjoy most is also in the hospital. It's very one-on-one, talking about people's giftedness. You know, some people have the vision and the drive for the much longer term work that community work takes, you know, just over years to see changes in communities. And I personally very much enjoy the more acute care as a dietitian in a hospital. Some of the patients you get to meet and deal with, the fulfillment of making a difference, and sometimes you don't see the changes you hope, but it's just very moving to get to be part of people's lives. And as you say, walk with them through what they're experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah. You both really seem to enjoy that connection one-on-one with the people around you. And that's really exciting to hear.
The thing is, Joe, I mean, like you're somebody who, you know, puts together stories. Like you take our story, or you through us, you take a story of somebody else, and you put it out there for mass consumption. Well, if you're taking care of patients in the hospital and they're coming in, they almost all have some just really wild story. I mean, they didn't just come from across the street by an ambulance. They came through a number of steps, which, you know, maybe they were seen by another healthcare worker at a health post, or maybe they went to a local healer. Maybe they spent huge amounts of their money in a private hospital. Finally, they wind up in front of you. And so just being part of that story is really, that's really an exciting thing, whether it's COVID patients or non-COVID patients. I sometimes feel like we're walking in a novel with some of these people.
Yeah, so many steps that led them to being in front of you throughout all of their lives, not even just through their illness journey, but just through their entire lives that leads them to you. That's remarkable, and it's wonderful that you take the time to get to know what's happening as best you can in those situations. The question I ask every guest on Get Your Spirit in Shape is, how do you keep your spirits in shape?
For me, it's perhaps what's quite an ordinary thing for a lot of people, but I think over the years, I have really become more and more dependent on having quiet time in the morning before the day gets going. It's gone from, you know, being an aspiration to being something you try and do. So as you've ticked the first box of the day, yes, I did read my Bible, to being something that, you know, you really feel like you got off to a bad foot if you didn't get to it. We're fortunate to live in a country where we have huge numbers of hours of sunshine all year round. And I have a spot on our roof. We have flat roofs in the city here where I sit, and each morning many mornings enjoy the sunshine, the bird song, and have that quiet time. That's really essential to me. And I've appreciated Mark's support for that, for making it a habit. I'll always remember when we had newborns and toddlers, he always, in the morning, even though he was the one going out to work, he always made sure that I had space from the boys to have a quiet time before he left the house. That's a habit that really pays back so much if you can work away at it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Mark, anything you would add?
No, I don't do anything spiritual, Joe. I just look after the kids. She already said that I forego all that stuff. When I think about it, I'm hearing Deirdre say it, and I'm sifting through in my own mind, you know, what are my important spiritual touchstones. I think there are the programmed ones, and then there are the non-programmed ones. So the programmed ones are basically quiet time in the morning, which sometimes gets squeezed by other things, but gets done in some way. you know, we take time at the dinner table to read the Bible and pray together. And we pray before we go to bed with the boys and between the two of us. And then we have a Bible study, which is going on by Zoom now, which now has people who have left Nepal. Like, it has people in Finland, Scotland, California, and then a few of us here in Nepal who are in this Bible study.
That's cool.
And then, you know, we're part of a church, the Nepali Christian Church. And the best thing that I have for my spiritual growth in that programmed way is that once a month I do the sermon, which is really preaching to myself, because, you know, that lets me really dig into something and reflect on something hard for like a week, and then finally I come up with something and then I've taught myself. So those are the programmed things. The unprogrammed thing that's happened, Joe, for me in the last, let's say, 3-4 years, is that I have had much more of a sense of little nudges from God on my bike, in the hospital, when I'm walking. It's usually when I'm not doing something programmed. It could be just, you know, something beautiful outside, but usually it's something internal. And so I've tried to stop on those moments. So I tried to actually stop what I'm doing in a definitive way. Other people don't see me stop. You know, I look around and I think, did anybody see that? But it always happens at a time when God doesn't have anybody around me. So the unprogrammed moments have been something I've really appreciated.
I love that. And I want to thank you for this time that you have given us. We're talking across almost 12-hour time difference. It's in the evening there. And so I'm just grateful for you taking, you know, this extra time to share with us about your ministry, about your work, and about the ways in which you see Jesus' work in your lives. And thank you, thank you, thank you for your work. And thank you for your time today.
That was Mark and Deirdre Zimmerman, a missionary couple serving in Kathmandu, Nepal, as part of the General Board of Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. To learn more about them and to support their work, go to umc.org/podcasts and look for this episode of our Give Love Advent 2020 series. We've put links on the page where you can learn more about Mark and Deirdre's ministry, and there's a link to the Give Love campaign so that you can support their work or any missionary's work with a donation. Thanks for listening. I hope you've had a blessed Advent. We'll have a Merry Christmas and are looking forward to a wonderful new year. I'll be back in 2021 with more conversations to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joy Avino. Peace.